The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 396. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Well, my guest for this week is another individual that I met at PowerCon. He is a Central Ohio-based toy maker by the name of Tim Ellis. Tim has a company called Giant Leap Toys, and he has a new project called Shogun Force, which he admits to is a love letter to the old Shogun Warriors action figures. And look, I know some people may not remember Shogun Warriors, may not even know about them. Do yourself a favor and Google them real quick. I had one of the big jumbos, as they were called, Ray Dean, who was kind of cool. The only thing, and I really shouldn't complain, I didn't complain, because I was lucky to have one. Mine came from a flea market, so it was missing a few parts, like the middle part, because Ray Dean had a fist that would launch, and there was a middle part that was the actual spring mechanism that was missing, like the missile that shot out of his belly was missing, so it wasn't all complete, but I enjoyed it nonetheless, and so Tim, like me, loved the Shogun Warriors, and so Shogun Force is kind of his, again, tip of the hat to that particular toy. So we're going to talk all about Shogun Force and the current Kickstarter that's going on for it, and we're going to talk even about the comics, we're going to talk about toys that we loved as kids, the manufacturing process for these type of toys, these jumbos, and a whole host of other things. So before I get to my conversation with Tim, I want to thank, of course, the great sponsor of the PVD Cast, World's Greatest Comics. I tell you every single time that I read this copy that there is no greater comic book store in Central Ohio than World's Greatest Comics. They've got single issues, they've got collections, they've got graphic novels, they've got hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. They've got toys, they've got collectibles, comic book supplies. I mean, look, you name it, they probably got it. So you need to check out the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. You can check them out online, as the website is wgcomics.com, and they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just search for at WG Comics. And you know what? Again, I want to thank Jeff and all the fine folks at World's Greatest Comics for being a proud sponsor. And you know what? I've been out there shaking the trees a little bit, see if I can find some other sponsors. And I just want to throw it out there. If you are interested in a sponsorship with the PVD Cast, just hit me up, johnorlando@pvdcast.com, or reach out and message me through my social medias. And we'll see if we can make that happen, because I want more independent mom and pop stores, if you will, on this podcast, because that's what I'm all about. I bleed that independent spirit. And so, again, if you're interested, reach out to me. All right, now that I got all that out of the way, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with the man behind Giant Leap Toys, Tim Ellis. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this evening, I have the privilege of sitting down with a gentleman that I met just a few weeks ago at PowerCon. I'm speaking, of course, about Mr. Tim Ellis. Tim, how are you doing?
I'm good, John. Thanks for having me on, man. Appreciate it.
You're quite welcome. You are the sole proprietor of Giant Leap Toys.
I am.
And you are based in New Albany, Ohio.
New Albany, Ohio, yeah. Originally from North Carolina, so you might hear a little Southern twang. eke out my voice here and there, but moved to the Columbus area back in 99 and have been here ever since.
Nice. And you obviously live in New Albany as well. Is your workshop in your home, or is it at another facility?
No, my studio is right here in the house. Okay. I like to keep things close to home. Okay. and I'll keep odd hours when I'm working on things. So no need to trek, 30 minutes across town to go to a studio space. I'll just keep it right here near the garage, and that's it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, how did you get started in toy making?
Gotcha. My career started back when I got out of college, and I got into licensing for children's apparel. So I was working on, back in the 80s, anything that had a television show, I was pretty much had my hands on it for kids' clothing. So, Mask, Robotech, Hug-A-Bunch, Jim and the Holograms. If it was an 80s property that was on TV and being licensed like crazy, I touched it. So the licensing thing really opened up the door for my interest into what this broader world was. So, I can kind of blame it right on Kenner. My first job, they had just acquired the Mask license. And I had a couple of, Camaros and cars, drawn up in my portfolio. And they were like, we just got this boy's license with vehicles. You'd be a great fit. So next thing I know, Kenner is sending me videotapes of the show. They're sending me their style guide. They're sending me toys. And it was kind of commonplace back then that the licensor would send these things to the licensee. And I just started building my toy collection from there off of the stuff that that I was getting for free, right? And so that just kind of grew my love toward the toy business even more. I was set up at licensing show in New York back in the early 2000s, had a display booth there, and had a couple of gentlemen from Hong Kong who came through and saw my designs. And they were looking for the toy company they were working with at the time. They were looking for more Western influenced artwork and design. And so so I picked up with them and worked with them for a number of years. Nothing that was ever hugely stellar. Mm-hmm. I like to joke that it was, just slightly elevated above Carnival toys. But, I did get to do some great light and sound, like ray guns and squirt guns, some figurine characters, design some plush. And again, across all aspects from toddler all the way up to, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old toy segments. So it was fun and a big learning experience too, especially on that side of it where there's not a lot of R&D dollars, so they're very particular and very tight on the money that they spend and the projects that they do pursue. So it was a very streamlined process, not like, being with a Mattel or a Hasbro where, you're sitting there and constantly concepting and blowing out and then, bringing it back down and tapering it in. I mean, it was almost a 2-to-1 development that I would do. So, just a couple of concepts to then, okay, well, we're going to take the best of this one design and this one design. We're going to put it together and we're going to go with it. So that kind of spoiled me in a way, to have it go that easy. But that's kind of the trek. It started with licensing, moved into doing other toy stuff. And then back around 2013, I started Secret Lab Toys, did my own vinyls with that company. Then that's, we've come full circle here to 2023 with Giant Leap.
So a quick question for the listeners out there. Yeah. What are vinyls? Can you describe what those are?
Vinyls, yeah. So vinyls are just, it's along the lines of like a Funko Pop. I did these designs that are 5.5 inches tall. They're made out of ABS vinyl, which is a very soft, very pliable kind of vinyl. It's got a great feel, a great finish to it when it's the deco is put on it and everything. So I had seen that some people were starting to put vinyls out into the art market. Kid Robot was just like a huge influence as I was watching their brand grow back in the 2000s. I just wanted to put my hand into something. So I designed these characters that a little bit more chunky, a little bit more almost ape-like, big sloped shoulders and big broad fists and broad stance and everything. Did really well with those for a number of years. And then, then some setbacks and then some, had some hiccups along the way that just kind of slowed the process down for those. But if you follow me on Facebook, Secret Lab Toys, CKRTLABTOYS, and I'll pop some custom figures up there every now and then. But pretty much the run for those at this point. I look to be done with that and look to the future with Giant Leap Toys.
This just clicked in my head while you were talking about your experiences. Technology has had to have helped you tremendously in this industry, because I can imagine, and tell me if I'm wrong, when you worked with, whether it was Kenner or Mattel or those gentlemen from Hong Kong, you didn't have what we have now. There was no Zoom. There was no internet. You did, I assume, a lot of research the old fashioned way. So, I mean, am I correct on that? That was the environment at that time?
You're absolutely correct. I mean, certainly computers were making their way into the workplace, but I was faxing sketches, getting up at like 6 a.m. because it was 6 p.m. in Hong Kong and sending my designs over and everything. Yeah. And the computer work that I was doing then was still very, very kind of rudimentary, right? I mean, I wasn't using it as a computer aided design element at all. I was still hand drawing and hand drafting and doing my control art, kind of the old fashioned way, and, notating and calling things out. Nowadays you're right. It's vastly different. I love being able to make use of programs like SketchUp, and I'll use Freehand and Illustrator and Photoshop to manipulate a lot of what I'm doing.
Well, let's talk about a new project that you have going on called Shogun Force. So can you maybe quickly summarize for the listeners what this project's all about?
Sure. Shogun Force is our love letter to the old Shogun Warriors. Loved the toy aesthetic of those when they came out, the gigantic jumbos, 2 feet tall. And like we talked about at the show, the comic books that Marvel had done, just a fantastic run of those stories and artwork, that at that age, I was just kind of blown away by what it was. So over the years, as I've looked to try and expand, some of my collection, I would look at some of the price points of these jumbos and be kind of shocked at, sticker shock with it. And just wanted to try and find a way to bring a good starting point for people who might have the same kind of love for that aesthetic and want to get a brand new mint robot piece instead of, spending a few hundred dollars on one that, one kid had, loved greatly in his sandbox or his backyard or something. That's kind of what it is. Just a real love for those robots that had come before.
The jumbo's name, Katani ZR, correct?
Katani ZR, yeah.
Where did the name come from?
So I had a friend of mine in college, and his nickname was Katani, and it was strength and power, what he explained to me. I just always thought that was cool, and, had done some superhero sketches, and thought that was a very cool name. When I started to put this concept together, I just kind of thought back on him, and I was like, his nickname being Katani, that stood for strength, and this is the first robot that I'm doing. I felt it was a good natural match. The ZR has no real indication to it. I just you know, like Mazinger Z, you know, Transor Z. I always just love that little, you know, suffix at the end that just gave it a little extra punch. So
there you go. Yeah, it's awful cool sounding. I can't. Yeah. Without the ZR, it just wouldn't pack the same punch.
Yeah.
Well, you currently have a Kickstarter going on. And so let's talk about the Kickstarter. It's been up and running for what, about 10 days, 10 days?
We're right at a week.
Yes. Okay, right at a week. Okay.
Started it on last Tuesday.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about it. If folks are interested in checking it out, what kind of perks, stretch goals, what can they expect if they check out the campaign?
Gotcha. So yeah, they can head over to Kickstarter and just search for Shogun Force, and we'll pop right up. We're right there at the top. Essentially, that's our campaign to try and launch this project. We built a short little story behind the concept just to kind of give it some familiarity to people, so that they knew that there's you know, these giant robots that live in our world and are being piloted by the Shogun Force, the highly specialized team that's in charge of them. So yeah, they'll go through and they'll see that has a whole list of everything about the character, 24 inches tall. We're going to be adding wheels to the bottom, like the classic Shogun Force toys. We're also, thanks to Shogun Plastics and Derek over there, we're going to be adding a missile firing fist that will also come with 6 missiles. The character has an 18-inch star blade sword that sits in a cradle on its back. 5 points of articulation, just like the old classic. So the head will turn, the arms have rotation at the shoulders, and then the legs have a slight little rotation and articulation at the hips. Let's see, what else? Cockpit, there'll be a cockpit for a 2.5-inch pilot that we have. We'll have sticker decoration for inside that cockpit that'll have kind of like a fun techie look to it. And that's about it. That's, you know, pretty solid features that we feel for what we're offering. Also, they'll see the different pledge levels. And pledge level 1 is $265 for the figure. And again, as we were kind of talking about, I know that seems like a lot, but when you look at our competitors and you see that, you know, our competitors are coming into the market, maybe $350 on the low end, it's more times like $400, $500 plus. You know, we feel like $265 is just a great entry point for those who are interested in collecting jumbos to get in. If you're in the U.S., the shipping that we need to add to it would be about $35. So for $300 all in, you get a 24-inch brand new mint in the box. And the box art is going to be fantastic. I'm working with a friend of mine who's an oil painter who's doing a great rendition of Katani for me. So yeah, $300 all in with everything, and ships to you hopefully by May of next year.
Did I also see too that you had some pictures on the Kickstarter of some like paint design differences?
Yeah, so we do have a
was
couple
that a
of
perk the, or was that
just, it's a variant that we're offering. Okay. So it's gonna bump up a little bit more. So instead of $265, I believe those are coming in at $295, and they're limited to 100 each. So one will have a modern update Mazinger Z colorway that'll be black and silver and red, and the other we're calling Mobile Suit Shogun, and it has a very Gundam color scheme to it. And so we have two prototypes. I have one prototype here in the States with me that you saw at PowerCon, and then another one with the factory in China. And they took it upon themselves to go ahead and paint that prototype as a mobile suit Shogun figure and sent me pictures of that. So so those pictures will we will be posting to the website soon, so everybody can see what that that paint option looks like.
You mentioned something, and I wrote it down because to me, I feel it's the most necessary thing to have in a toy, and that is to have a great backstory. So yeah. I know you just mentioned that, you know, with you have characters, Captain Grant, General Sullivan, Dr. Hanamori, given a little bit of a biography to them. Do you agree or disagree that that's key? That's got to be maybe the most, the number two thing on the list. The first is obviously the design of the figure, and then number two is biography. I mean, I assume you're shaking your head yes, so you agree with me wholeheartedly on that.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And I think it's one of those things that, you know, as consumers, we've just become so accustomed to that, right? I mean, everyone nowadays, everybody on the toy aisle has some sort of backstory to them. You know, you don't exist without having some sort of reason for being there. So, when the decision was made that I was going to pursue this, I really had to kind of dig through and figure out what I wanted this to be. Again, I'm not a polished writer by any stretch of the imagination, but I do have a lot of fun when I'm just kind of world building and pulling concepts together. So actually these three characters were from another concept that I had a few years ago that was Starbase Dare, D-A-R-E, Defense and Rescue Elite. And so, yeah, but then, good. You know, don't do drugs, kids. You know, the DARE program kind of squashed that idea. But Defense and Rescue Elite and these characters were there. And I was like, you know, this could be my matchup. This could be where these characters come into play and, you know, exist in this Shogun Force world.
You have a company, a factory already in China. So I am totally ignorant about how this process works. How do you manage to find somebody that's going to, you know, produce your toy?
Well, I'm fortunate enough. The gentleman that I mentioned who I met at the licensing show years ago, they operate as my agents over there. So they, you know, I kind of come to them with an idea, a concept, and they're fairly well connected and own factories themselves. And so they are able to track down other people and factories that are willing to then turn around and work with me on developing my projects.
So how long does the total process take for you to from, and I don't know, like if you just want to ballpark it, from the initial idea to finished product, roughly how long does that take?
Well, with this concept, it took probably, I'm going to say probably about a solid year. I had the idea for Shogun Force back in like 2018, 2019, really didn't do anything with it. But then, had a couple of sketches lying around. I went to PowerCon last year here in Columbus. And found out about it too late to exhibit, but was able to attend. And it was a mind-blowing inspiration. I mean, to be there with the likes of, you know, Sparrow Toys and Four Horsemen, Mego. It was a great experience. So that's, for me, that was the deciding factor, rubber meeting the road and, you know, let's get this thing done. So I started polishing up the concept art, getting it cleaned up, getting my control art together. So really, since that was in August of last year, I would say since September of last year till probably July of this year. So 10-ish months or so, almost a full year to kind of just get everything going, get designs worked through, get the factory on board with, how things needed to be executed. It's tough when I'm, you know, the creative one and I'm not there in the room with them, but the factory really does a good job at coming through and fulfilling the vision. I can't complain too much. So, I would say normally, you know, for me, it's kind of that shorter window, but certainly we all know with larger toy companies, it's a few years sometimes to really play out the concept, the marketing of that concept, and bringing that toy to life. But for Shogun Force and Katani, it's been let's just call it a year, and that's where we are.
Okay. I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Tim for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. They got your fandom covered, trust me. So, you need to check out the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or they're available on the internet. WGComics.com is a website. And they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just search for @WGComics. Well, we're going to recap all the information about Kickstarter and everything here in a few moments. But let's talk a little bit about you, shall we?
Okay. Yeah.
So growing up, what was your favorite toys?
Well, like we talked about at the show, I probably had a stunted growth maturity-wise. One of my first toys that I remember when I was really young was Major Matt Mason. That was right at when the Apollo space program was taking off. And he was just, an amazing little toy. They had really done this great detailed, almost like Mercury astronaut uniform on him. And he just came with all these great vehicles and everything. Not really sci-fi, but not really too reality-based. So there was kind of like a nice balance and mix in between there. And just great playability to it. A lot of light and sound stuff, with motorized vehicles and stuff. After that, I'd have to say the large 12-inch G.I. Joes, Adventure Team came out. And I thought the Adventure Team was just fantastic, loved. All that concept. I mean, not that I didn't like the military stuff, but the Adventure Team was just hitting on a different level for me. Adventure of the Mummy's Tomb and Spy Island and all those playsets that came with it. And then, like we talked about too, the Bionic Man, when Kenner came out with Bionic Man and Maskatron and the large Bigfoot cyborg. Just great stuff that I liked. But, and I can't discount the simpler stuff too. I was talking with friends about this at PowerCon and even mentioned it to Marty Abrams. I really don't remember a time growing up that, whether it was birthday, Christmas, Easter, just whatever special occasion, those superhero figures were just priced at the right price point for my parents. I think they were like maybe $3, $2.99 or something like that. So I was kind of showered with those as kind of like a nice gift.
Were those the Mego action figures?
Those were the Mego.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those All Mego right. figures. Yeah. And yeah. So Mattel with Big Jim. I thought that was a fascinating toy. All the different sets that came with that, the you could dress them up as sports, and Big Jim's pack, I thought was a Jim with Jack Kirby's artwork to it, just amazing. Yeah, and so then top it off with the Shogun Warriors, and then somewhere in there, girls caught my eye, and I moved on from toys for a bit, but I forgot to throw Evel Knievel in there. The Evel Knievel motorcycle was just great. So, yeah, I was a toy junkie from an early age for sure.
Now you're gonna have to refresh my memory because I'll be honest, as I told you at PowerCon, I was not too familiar with Major Matt Mason. I knew of him. He did not have any like villains or anything, right? He was just basically kind of like Big Jim and Adventurer, and you kind of,
they had one figure that they did for him that was called Scorpio, and he was kind of the bad guy. Okay. But he had another Callisto was another alien figure that was a friend of his, And so, yeah, they didn't play up the good guy, bad guy too much. You're right. It was more of a almost, you know, now that I think about it, my Starbase Dare was kind of the Defense and Rescue Elite. That was kind of like my probably love letter to Major Matt Mason. It wasn't Star Wars. It was a little bit more reality based, but just enough touch of science fiction to make it fun and interesting.
Okay. I see in the background that you have a Green Lantern figure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So obviously you must be a fan of comics.
Oh yeah. Absolutely love comics.
What are some of your favorite comics or even superheroes or creators?
Wow. Okay. Well, you know, top of the list would have to be CC Beck with the original Captain Marvel.
Okay.
You know, my kind of art style is bubbly and cartoony. So I always appreciated what his art style looked like, him and Kurt Scheffenberger with the way that they would render Captain Marvel was just fantastic. But yeah, I mean, so I have two, well, I'm the youngest of five, but I have two older brothers that are right close in age to me. And when we were growing up, we would all pool our allowances and buy anything and everything comic books. So I was in charge of like Captain America, the Avengers, and Nova, and my other brother would get like Spider-Man and Fantastic Four, and my other brother would get like Hulk, and he would buy more of the Charlton comic stuff or the Dell comic stuff. You know, like we were a very diverse crowd when we were collecting. But yeah, I just loved anything and everything. And especially, you know, over the years, I love DC's golden age stuff, but I have to call myself a Marvel Bronze Age guy. Everything that just hit in that window of early 70s to late 70s, you know, Shogun Warriors included in that, and ROM, and boy, what else? Gosh.
Micronauts.
Wow. Yeah. How can I forget that? Micronauts. I mean, I'm even a fan of like all the, you know, when you start to squeeze into the 80s, you know, when they were trying to do the Star comics and bringing in, you know, Transformers, and Mask was in that. And then, I'm trying to remember everything else. But who's not, you know, Captain America would be up there, top number one, favorite superhero. I don't know. Too many to list. My wife would tell you. My wife would show you my collection, and she would say, yeah, too many to list. For sure.
The thought that went through my mind when you were talking about divvying up the who was going to get what comics, they were on a spinner rack at the drugstore, right?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the day. And where we lived at that time, we were right across the street from what was an old general store, you know, which turned into a convenience store eventually, right? But back then was a general store. And the guy who owned it had like about four spinner racks in there and religiously just kept it stocked. And we would come over and, you know, he knew when we got our allowances because we'd come running in the door throwing money everywhere. Yeah.
All right. When you're not making toys, what do you like to do for fun?
Wow. You know, I like to spend time just chilling out. I'm a big fan of music, and so I like to listen to a number of different artists. And as of late, have been, you know, finding myself going back to those songs of the 70s and everything. You know, listening to a lot of like Jackson Browne, and listening to you know, Billy Joel and Elton John and everything, Boston and ELO. I'd like to do that. You know, my wife and I, we'll hit some tennis. We like to go on day hikes around the metro parks in the area. And, you know, I don't mind a good stiff drink every now and then, too. So, so yeah, I'll sit down and find a place that has a nice array of bourbons, and I'll spend an afternoon, you know, testing out a couple of different bourbons if I've got the time and the money. Yeah.
All right. So what about some future projects? I mean, obviously I know that you got your hands full right now with Shogun Force, but I gotta imagine, like many, many independent creators out there, you have the next project already in your head and you just got to clear out some time to get her going. So do you want to talk about those, or those you want to hold those close to the vest?
I'll talk about it some, because to let you know, honestly, I really do feel such a kinship with this Shogun Force project that whatever happens next, I don't think I'm going to stray too far from it. So, as with the Shogun Warriors toys, Poppy was developing those in Japan. They had a number of different accessories that went with the figures, and a number of different, fists, like a wrecking ball fist and a bow and arrow fist that you could take the missile fist off and replace with these other ones. What I'd like to see is this jumbo project fund, and then be able to carry that further. So I've already started putting the designs together for Mazinger had his jetpack, so I've got some jetpack designs that I've worked on. I think for Katani, he's primed to have like some shoulder mounted rocket launchers or something, and in even like a chest cannon, maybe we can make use of that space where the pilot sits. You should be able to take the pilot out and then slide something into that space that will become a chest cannon for him. So there's a lot of ideas cooking around that. Of course, Shogun Warriors, they also did the 5-inch die cast of the figures. So so my guys in Hong Kong are already talking to some die cast factories just to start get initial pricing to see, what 5-inch die cast figures would cost and what those could potentially be. Beyond that, there are a couple of more projects. One of them does deal with a licensed property. So I can't say too much about it because we are at the very beginning of that. So I'll be digging into that and trying to juggle that as Shogun Force here moves along. And then depending on where that licensed property lands, there's a concept that's based on an abandoned toy from the 70s that I've got in the pipeline that I've been working on some designs for. And I'll just say that it was a highly entertaining but underrated electronic and laser light toy that made sounds when you would tilt it up and tilt it down.
You got me stumped on that hint. I just got to be honest.
On that one? Yeah. Well, so I'll give you the initials MB, and you can Google MB and see what you can find.
All right, Tim. All right, challenge accepted. All right, as we start wrapping things up, do you have any upcoming appearances? You just fresh off of PowerCon. Do you have any other conventions or places you're going to be?
There's a toy show that's going to be coming up in Xenia, Ohio. Forgive me for not remembering the name of it right now, but we will be going over there. We'll have Katani with us. We'll be at the show and hobnobbing with the people, getting some exposure there. I did put up on Facebook for anybody who's out there that wants to help us on the ground level of this. I've started a street team to get people out there and putting flyers out. So have friends of mine who are going to Baltimore Comic Con here in the next couple of weeks. So they'll be taking a stack of flyers with them to promote it. Anyone out there who has a local comic shop or toy shop where they want to take some flyers to, just contact me at giantleaptoys@gmail.com. And I'll get a stack of flyers your way for you to help us out with that. So that'll be it for the next couple of months as we wind down to the end of the Kickstarter on October 1st.
You know what? I totally forgot to compliment you. You were talking about the posters. And folks, if you go to any of the social medias of Giant Leap Toys or Tim or whatnot, there's some amazing artwork that you've done, like these really kind of retro, like Shogun Force cereal boxes, T-shirts, like the ads. I don't know. I'm very really appreciate that old type of like parody ad, especially a very good one. And I got to give you hats off to you. Who came up with those? Can I ask?
That's just kind of me. Okay. You know, I think when you reflect back on what these toys meant to you at that age, and like we talked about our love of the Shogun Warriors comic book, that, you know, it just kind of goes hand in hand, right? Like mm-hmm. that, I can't tell you how many times I'd sit there with the toy right in front of me as I'm sitting there reading the comic. Mm-hmm. And it just, it just really meant a lot. So I'm trying to make that connection and kind of invoke those feelings, you know, to get people to feel some reminiscence about a property that they shouldn't have any reminiscence on. You know, it's brand new, but hey, we're hoping that that it reminds you of when you were in the backyard, you know, saving the universe and fending off the evil invaders. Yeah, so that will continue. I had just recently done one once the Kickstarter launched that harkened back to the old Mego ads that had the little, I included the little 8-inch characters in there along with the jumbos. And you know, we're not producing 8-inch characters, but you know, you've got to see the love for those toys in that ad to really make it click. So we've got that. And then of course we've got a, I haven't done it yet, but I've got a Hostess Cupcakes parody. there you go. There's your sneak peek for the night. Gonna be doing a Hostess Cupcake parody ad. And it's just been a ton of fun. You know, not only building what this Shogun Force world is, but the world that Shogun Force property exists in, with Papa Zitz Pizza, and you know, to your point, the comic books and the clothing and everything. So, you know, as we continue to build out our Shogun Force story, that alternate existence will come right along with it for sure.
All right, I'm going to recap for the listeners. The Kickstarter is live. It has been going on now for a while. Let's talk about it. It's kickstarter.com/ShogunForce, probably the easiest way to go. Check everything out. If you can plunk down some cash, great. If you can't, let some folks know about it. I think that you know, word of mouth is a great way to advertise, and you know, so do that. If you can't do anything else, at least just spread the word. Let's talk about social media and website. Where can folks follow you further online if they want to follow you for, you know, updates or just see what's going on with the project or whatnot?
Gotcha. So we're pretty much on Facebook and Instagram for right now. We haven't built out our own vanity website yet. Really want to make sure that we're successful and up and running before we, you know, dive into that end. So we'll make use of the platforms that are provided for us. But so Facebook, Giant Leap Toys, same thing on Instagram, Giant Leap Toys. Haven't ventured into Thread yet, but you know, who knows? Who knows? I might get there. But I really hope that people will see the effort and the sincerity that we're trying to put into this to bring this to the market. I know that the modern jumbos, some are very cool, and I love the look of a transformer, giant transformer on the shelf, and a giant Boba Fett. But we're really trying to get our hands around what the essence of those Shogun Warriors toys were, and bring a new facet to it. If people would just check us out, and John, like you said, pass the word, share to groups, join our street team. Again, just reach out to me on email, and I'll be glad to answer any questions, send you flyers if you're headed to a show or a con, and do whatever I can to help you help us. So, yeah.
All right. With that, Tim, thank you very much for sitting down and chatting with me tonight.
John, I appreciate you giving me the time, and thank you.
You're quite welcome. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Tim Ellis from Giant Leap Toys, talking about Shogun Force, his latest project. And please check out everything Tim has going on with this project. Go over to the Kickstarter. If you can, put down some cash. If you can't, because, you know, you might be tight for money, I understand. Just spread the word. Like, post, retweet, tell people. Just get the word out there to help Tim out, because he's an independent guy, and you know what that means. You know that I'm independent too. I fly that flag proudly. And so Tim would love to have all the support and make sure that this Kickstarter is successful. Again, just go to Kickstarter and search for Shogun Force, and it'll pop right up as the top result. All right, ladies and gentlemen, with that, it's time for me to start wrapping things up here. So let me tell you where you can get in touch with me if you have a question or concern about this episode, or any episode for that matter. Well, first off, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at PVDMVP. I know they're calling it X now, but anyways, it's Twitter to me. You can contact me through that particular outlet, or you can leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds. Just look for at PVDcast. Heck, you can even throw me a thread. And again, that's at PVDcast. Although I'll be honest with you, I've not been very active at all. In fact, I would have to look at my phone. I don't even think I've ever posted on Threads yet. I may have to change that. But nonetheless, you can still get in touch with me there. And of course, if you want to be old school, you can shoot me an email. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is the email address. But don't forget to help spread the word of the PVDcast by telling your friends about it and telling them that they can get it at pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly, or through any of those major podcasting outlets. All you got to do is go to your favorite podcasting app, go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And look, I say it all the time, but it's super important. If you like what you hear, please rate and review. It helps me out in the algorithm, and it lets the outlet know that you're listening to the PVDcast. And of course, when we're talking about rating and reviewing, you got to subscribe so that you never miss a single episode of this beloved podcast. But there's even two other ways that you can hear the PVDcast. The first way is through the Facebook page on Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I do a little, Facebook broadcast, and that's another way that you can hear it. But also, you can find the PVDcast on Croc Radio, CROC Radio. Schedule has gotten reconfigured, and the PVDcast is now on Saturday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So check it out through Croc Radio. Just go to one of those internet radio databases or directories. Put in Croc Radio. You'll get the links. I mean, Streama is one of them. There's a ton of them. So just search in Google Internet Radio Database, Croc Radio, and you'll find it. And listen to my show and all the great shows on Croc Radio emanating out of the great province of British Columbia. All right, with that being said, I've gotten everything plugged that I need to plug, so I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you once again for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2020.